Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening, if you've been hanging around with us some today and you're still here, well, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And your brain is just going to get, you're going to get that much smarter now that Eva Rosenberg is here, ladies and gentlemen. Eva is our good friend, a longtime member, actually an original member of our Brain Trust, and she is the tax mama. She is a national tax columnist and tax expert, on small business taxes, including, in fact, that she wrote the book called Small Business Taxes Made Easy, and she's a pretty darn good expert on all elements of small business. Most importantly, though, she's our good friend. Eva, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Eva, let me ask you a question. You didn't know I was going to go here, but you can handle this.
Okay.
I like asking CPAs and tax preparers and bankers this question because they see a lot of small business stories. They talk to a lot of small business owners, the ones who were excited, the ones who were scared, et cetera, et cetera. If you had to take a sweeping glance at all of the small business owners you've worked with in the last 9 months, let's say, would you say that on balance, their business, the health of their companies, the economy that they seem to be finding is, where would you put it in a scale of 1 to 10?
I think pretty much all the people that I'm working with who have small businesses are just doing great. Their businesses are thriving. I can't think of any one of them right now who is not doing well in their
business. And how many of these folks would you say that you work with in a year's time?
Probably about 50.
Okay. So that's a pretty good cross-section. And these are cross-sections of businesses, not just one particular industry necessarily.
They're complete cross-sections. Some of them are doing retail or wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are doing service industry. Some of them provide burglar alarms.
And you're in California, so...
But my clients
so,
are everywhere. They're all over the world.
Okay, that's right. You're not just a California-based. But the point that I'm getting at here, Eva, is I had Bill Brandt on earlier in the show,
mm-hmm.
and he and I were debating a little bit of a debate about mm-hmm. whether the economy, you know, whenever I hear some politicians saying, you know, we got to throw the Republicans out, the bums out of whoever they're trying to throw out because of the economy, I'm saying, what economy are they watching?
Well, you know, they're looking at large corporations who are laying people off left and right and cutting back.
Right.
I'm looking at people who are self-employed, and I really believe that if you're running your own business and you understand your industry and your customer base, you're never going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can always treat them well.
If you know how to run your business. Exactly. And the thing is that small businesses are actually the beneficiaries of all those layoffs, aren't they?
Exactly.
Because we get well-trained people who are excited about coming to work. But the main thing I wanted to get out of you was your response to my question, and you gave it to me, and I appreciate that because when I talk to small business owners, they all have challenges. It's not like things are, you know, roses are popping up all over the place. They all have their challenges, but on balance, it's a good time to be a small business owner, isn't it?
They all have their challenges. They all have problems. One of the problems one of my clients has right now is he just got a huge contract with Sears and, I think, Target. Mm-hmm. And he needs to find $2 million to make sure that he can pay to produce the merchandise he has to deliver.
That's a high-class problem, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's a high-class problem.
That's right. Even success comes with problems, but these are all, but every day there is some challenge, and that's what makes it exciting.
Well, exactly, and those are good stories to take to your banker.
That's right.
I have a contract with these two companies, and I need to borrow money so I can capitalize this contract. That's a good story, and the good news is, Eva, is more and more bankers are receptive to those kinds of proposals from small businesses.
That's right, and he's going to do just fine. He's very smart, and he's followed intelligent instructions all the way along. So, you know, he came to me 1 year, and he had I don't know, $500,000 in income, but a lot of accounts receivable, and I showed him how to flip that so that he could have $5 million in income.
Mm-hmm. Stand by, Eva. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Eva's going to get into our corporate structure, our documentation, and make sure that we got all that squared away. Right after these messages, it's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with Eva Rosenberg. Stay with us. Strawberry alarm clock for you there. That's from the way back room there, folks. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. We're visiting with our good friend Eva Rosenberg. Eva, one of the things that small business owners don't always do a great job of, and I'm guilty of this too, is taking care of the paperwork details. Some of the uninteresting, boring, maybe even frustrating, irritating things, like minutes, doing the minutes for our corporation, doing the shareholders, having the shareholders meetings, and making sure that all of our documentation, like insurance policies, are properly structured and the beneficiaries are all, you know, the right way and all that sort of thing. This is a problem for small businesses, isn't it?
It is, and I think they make it more of a problem than it really is. Because let's face it, every time you make a business decision, you know, all day long you're making a bunch of different decisions, but very rarely do you make decisions about your overall business, your policy, and so forth. When you do, just write it down and slip it into your minute book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be formal minutes. You can always clean it up later. But write down what you've decided about what you're going to do with your insurance policy, what you're going to do with benefits for staff, what you're going to do with who's going to own the car you buy, you know, that kind of thing. Just write it down, slip it in there, and then later on you can clean it up. It's not that big a deal.
Well, or just put a couple of sheets of paper in there, lined paper. Mm-hmm. And whenever something happens, just go in there and write it down as a one-liner just to prompt your memory.
You can do that, but if you don't have the book around at the time, you know, just write it down on something, slip it in later, and then, you know, if you do have the book around when you're talking to your partner, your spouse, or even yourself making a decision, or you're on the phone with your accountant or attorney, just write it down.
You know, another thing you could do, I don't know if you do this or not, but I do this. I confess. I send myself an email.
That's a great idea. You know what?
Send yourself an email, and then when it comes to you, folks, then put it over into its own mailbox.
Yeah, or print it out also, and then you can slip it in. But yeah, I also have this habit. I can, using Eudora, I can send emails in advance, and I can do that to remind myself.
That's what I. That's exactly the program I use. I use Eudora and have for forever.
Yeah,
I've never used Outlook ever, not one time. But anyway, just send yourself an email, remind yourself, then put it over in a file. I like electronic files.
That's right. That's where I have a lot of my information. If somebody calls about something, I can go back and find their information and follow through on anything we had. And I just leave those folders open.
You mentioned the insurance beneficiary, I think, a minute ago. Tell us why you had that on your mind.
You know what? When a woman wrote to me and she says, I have to tell you what happened to me because this is a lesson everybody needs to learn. Her husband was dying of cancer, so they knew he was dying. And they wanted to put all of their affairs in order so there would be no trouble after he died. And they had two small children. So he went and took care of everything he thought he could remember to take care of. They didn't do anything special with their with his life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they showed the beneficiaries as his wife and his two children.
Right.
You know, half to the wife and half to the two children.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died. Well, oh my God, she found out afterwards what a horrible mistake that was, because two minor children, she had to go through court and probate and all this stuff because she had to prove she's their guardian. The court set up an
I agree with you. That was a mistake. I mean, especially if the children are minors, they would get the money anyway through the mother.
Exactly. If you really don't trust mom.
Some insurance agent didn't do a good job of advising them about that.
Somebody did not, or they overlooked it. But, and this is why it was so interesting that she told me this. And I talked to a few attorneys, and there's an article on MarketWatch where I go into this in depth that we won't have time here. Bottom line, what you do on the beneficiary statements of insurance policies, pensions, and IRAs, if you want to leave it to your children, say you're going to leave it to a trust. Read line so-and-so in the will. You create a custom beneficiary statement.
Mm-hmm.
And in your will, you instruct them that when you die, create a separate trust for each child that will then be handled by the designated guardian, who is your
wife.
Some
people think trusts are expensive.
Trusts aren't nearly as expensive, as she now has to report to the court until her children are 19.
Wow.
She has to do this three times a year, and then once every 6 years or so. I mean, you know, once every 3 years. It's just so horrid. And the costs that she's gone through were unnecessary. But it's offensive that, you can't take care of your own children.
Yeah, I'm sure that hurt her feelings. Well, what about the use of insurance policies for products for purposes of buyouts? Do you get into that very much?
Key man
insurance, that kind of thing?
But I think it's an excellent idea, because if you're in business with somebody, you may really get along with your partner and you may see eye to eye. But if your partner dies and his wife or his brother becomes the owner of his shares, you may not be able to get along with them
at all. You know, another thing, a lot of businesses get themselves into a serious... They get into a risky situation with being undercapitalized and over-borrowed. Insurance products are a good way, folks, to make sure that if something happens to you during that critical time, your employees, your company will be able to continue on even after you're gone. 10 till. We'll be right back with Eva Rosenberg. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Eva Rosenberg, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the smart things that she's had to say to us over the years, over the many years she's been a member of our Brain Trust. You can find that in the Brain Trust section on my website, which is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check that out when you get a chance. But Eva has her own website. She is also, by the way, the author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy, which is available wherever books are sold. Eva, give us your website, please.
TaxMama.com.
And isn't that a new website?
Nope. TaxMama has been around for...
I know TaxMama has, but don't you have a new look there, or something you've done the last few months?
Well, I'm trying to move it, and I'm doing it myself because I'm a small business. So in the meantime, you can always go to TaxTwist.com to see all the new material.
All right. So TaxMama.com and TaxTwist.com. You want to talk about the Las Vegas event?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm having a workshop in Las Vegas that you're all invited to. It's November 17th at the Riviera Hotel, and it's addressing things that a lot of people have been asking about. They want to know how to do payroll. They want to know the eternal question, should I incorporate or not?
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you tell them?
Well, for every person it's different. That's why we're going to do the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what your overall goals are.
How do I sign up for this?
Just go to taxtwist.com, and on the left-hand side of the column, you'll see a link to the workshops.
Okay, and that we can subscribe there. And folks, if you're in Vegas or going to be, or you live around that part of the world, be sure to check it out, and that's at taxtwist.com. Let's talk about this incorporation thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have something I tell people. I'd like to see what you think. I tell them, so see, a lot of people will email me and they'll say, you know, it's just me. I'm a micropreneur. I haven't hired any employees yet. Should I incorporate or should I spend that $500 somewhere else on marketing or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them this. I say, if you aren't entering into any other contracts with any you know, significant contracts, if you don't have an employee and you're still pretty small, whatever you do that might be a mistake or whatever, it's all about you. Then even if you incorporate, you're probably still going to have some, you know, some personal liability because you're the one who may be found to be negligent.
That's
so
true.
So maybe now isn't when you should incorporate. But when any of those other things start, like you're signing a lease or you're entering into a contract with a customer or to perform certain duties or you're hiring employees, that's to me are triggers. Those are triggers for incorporating. What do you think?
Those are very definite triggers. It's a very good answer. The only thing is sometimes if you want certain benefits, you can't get them if you're unincorporated.
Right.
Especially if you don't have a spouse to hire mm-hmm. to give the benefits to. And so sometimes if you incorporate, you may be able to get deductible benefits you couldn't otherwise get. And so it's a trade-off. You know, this is one of those things where there is no yes and no answer. You know, if you're obsessed with it, then do it. But talk to somebody first to see what kind of an entity you should create.
Mm-hmm. Whether it be a C-Corp, an S-Corp, an LLC, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in some states, limited partnerships are still good.
Right, right.
But again, with limited partnerships, you need to have a partner.
Got to have a general partner.
Yeah.
Too, with a limited partner. Somebody's got to be the general partner.
Well, you know what's interesting? With a limited partnership, you could have your corporation be a general partner.
Right.
So if you want to start getting complicated, there's all kinds of interesting things you can do. But the more entities you create, the more record keeping you need separately, and the more work you have.
And, you know, another thing that's a benefit of incorporating, a lot of companies that you might do business with will consider you, they'll have a higher regard for you if they see you as a corporation. That tells them that you're not just a mom and pop. You're serious about this.
That's right. You appear larger. And with so many people running businesses from home, there are so many ways we can appear to be larger than we are, you know, with just us working from home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just me with a part-time employee, and I look like I'm a major corporation.
Well, but you are major, Eva. Even though, you know, you're not exactly, you know, H&R Block in terms of size, in terms of quality, in terms of being a major. You're major, Eva.
But it looks
I hereby anoint you, Eva, as major. Hey, Eva, give us that website again, please.
Go to taxtwist.com for all the latest information.
Thank you, Eva. Good job today, as always.
You too.
Eva Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, and she'll be back. I will be too, but not for a little bit. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't forget, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.